We thank you so much for Paul's wisdom and the spirit that you have given to him to give us your will for our lives. Lord, we pray that as we think deeply about your word, that you will give us humility to understand it and to be submissive to it, and that we can and will apply all these things in our lives. So Lord, give me wisdom and humility to speak your word in truth, that I will be humble, but Lord, let me be courageous in proclaiming your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Traveling on the highway, on the M4, you're going 120 in a 100K zone. What's the worst thing that you can see in the rear vision mirror? One of these things. One of the worst sights you can actually see when you're driving on the M4 and traveling faster than what you're supposed to, the worst thing that you can see is a police car. But have you ever wondered, why do you stop when they put on the siren? Have you ever thought to yourself, why should I pull over when the policeman is saying, pull over? Why? I mean, the person driving the car is the same man or woman, just like you and I. They don't have any superpowers. Yeah, you might have a better car. You can maybe outrun them. Why do we actually stop and hand over our license and say, sorry, I was wrong, I won't do it again? Why do we actually, why are we so humbled by the policeman who pulls us over? They have authority, don't they? They have delegated authority from whom? From the New South Wales government. They are enforcers of the law. It's not because the person behind the wheel has superpowers or they have authority, personal authority over us, but it is because they have authority given to them by the New South Wales government that we actually follow their directions. And we have all agreed that we will submit to the police as citizens of New South Wales, haven't we? When we agreed to live in New South Wales, we said we will submit to the authority of the New South Wales government and the police. And that is why when we see that picture in the rearview mirror, we stop. We can't but stop. In the same way, as people who have been transformed by the mercies of God, the way we live our lives must also reflect that transformation, shouldn't it? Where once we live for our own sinful desires, what do we do now? We live to love God, and we live to follow and submit to his authority. And as we saw last week, part of loving God is to be proactive in how we live, is to be doing things, to actually live out that love in this world. But the temptation for us is that this world isn't very, I don't know, transient, isn't it? We don't really take it, but there's a temptation for us not to take this world seriously. Why? Because we are strangers and aliens in this world. This life is just a transition to eternity. This life is just a transition to life eternal with God. You know, even Peter says that we live as strangers and aliens in this world. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11, this is what Peter says. Dear friends, I urge you, as aliens and strangers in the world, to abstain from sinful desires, which war against your soul. So as strangers in the world, do we need to take the governing authorities in this life seriously? Should we actually say to them and say, you know, I have Jesus as my king, why should I obey you when Jesus is my ultimate king? But have a look at 1 Peter, the next verse. In chapter 2, verse 12, live such good lives among the pagans that though they accuse you of doing wrong, they may see your good deeds and glorify God on the day he visits us. You know, living for God does not mean that we are to be separate from the world. Living for God means that we live here and now in this world. In fact, Peter is saying we are to live such good lives among the pagans, among the peoples of the world, that they can only but glorify God at the last day. we are not to be separate from them, but to live up close and personal, interacting with them. And the way we live will show how much we love God. Even though we are citizens of heaven, we are still citizens of this world. We cannot pretend we do not belong to this world when we are currently living in it. When we are physically living on this earth, how can we say I belong to heaven and not here? So as citizens of two kingdoms, heaven and earth, how then should we live? There is only one way we can live, in submission and obedience to God. That is the ultimate thing, isn't it? This means that we need to have a high view of God's sovereignty. We need to understand God's sovereignty over all things. And part of living in this world is to understand that everything and everyone is under God's authority. So have a look at Romans chapter 13 verse 1. This is what it says in Romans chapter 13 verse 1 in today's passage. Everyone must submit himself to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except that which God has established. The authorities that exist have been established by God. We are to submit to our secular governments, governing authorities, because without God, they cannot exist. Their authority is derived from God. Just as we saw the policeman, or the police car, or the policewoman, or the police officer has authority given to them by the New South Wales government, all governing authorities in the world derive their authority from God. It is God that has established them. It is God that has set them up and said, you rule, and everyone is to submit. Which means that rebelling against established authorities, governments, is rebelling against God, as we see in verse 2. In verse 2, Paul goes on to say, consequently, he who rebels against the authority is rebelling against what God has instituted, and those who do so will bring judgment on themselves. This is why having a high view of God's sovereignty means that we will treat all governing authorities as agents of God, established to do His will. And God's will is that rulers are to do good for their people. They are to establish order and justice in society, which is Paul is going on about in verses 3 and 5. Have a look at verses 3 and 5. For rulers hold no terror for those who do right, but for those who do wrong, do you want to be free from fear of the one in authority? Then do what is right, and he will commend you. For he is God's servant to do you good. But if you do wrong, be afraid, for he does not bear the sword for nothing. He is God's servant and agent of wrath to bring punishment on the wrongdoer. Therefore, it is necessary to submit to the authorities, not only because of possible punishment, but also because of conscience. Governments define what is good and what is bad by its laws and statutes, by its rules and regulations. They commend those who obey the law as good and punish those who disobey. Just like the police. When they catch you speeding, they fine you or even take away your license. That's their way of making sure that everyone drives safely on the road. It's a good thing to be caught by the police when you're speeding, isn't it? It is. That's right, it's better than getting in a high-speed accident, right? It's better to be caught by the police than not. They're there to serve us, to make sure that the road is orderly and safe for everyone else. And without order, without authority, society will decay and degenerate into chaos and anarchy. That's why when we see the order in society, when we see governments ruling with justice, this is the mercy of God. This is God's provisions. This is God's grace that governments rule with such justice and goodness. It is not, when governments rule, everyone is not doing what they want to do, isn't it? They follow the rules. This is only natural because the fundamental problem of man is not to seek God, but to seek his own pleasures. When people are left to their own devices, all they want to do is to seek their own gratification. And when you put those sinful people together in a group without any governing authorities, what's the result? What would happen when you put self-absorbed, self-gratifying, and self-centered people in a room? What will happen? And there's no authority. Sounds like a church as well, but... okay. Have you read the book, The Lord of the Flies? If you haven't, I recommend it. I actually had to study for high school, and I thoroughly enjoyed it, especially the movie they showed us in class, which is, I think that's one of the scenes from the movie. It's a very old movie. It's a good movie, too. You know, the premise of the book is there's a bunch of young English students flying, and they crash land on a deserted island. There's no adults around, there's no governing authorities, and they are left to their own device. Initially, what they did, they set up their own groups. You know, you do this job, you do that job, and they're, you know, highly functional as a group. But then there is no real authority telling them what is right and wrong. So they degenerate. People with might, one with a spear, I think, you know, he rises up and says, let's go kill a pig. Kill the pig. What's the chant called? Kill the pig. Bash him in. It's a really a confronting book. It's a confronting movie as well. When people are left to their own devices, what happens? They degenerate into anarchy, and they don't look after each other. They look for their own good. Which means having governments to rule and judge is God's general blessing to the world, isn't it? When left to our own devices, we just fail to rule ourselves. But when God says, these are rulers that will rule over you, that is God's provision, that is God's grace to help us live orderly lives. That is why we must submit to the governing authorities as our act of obedience to God. We cannot say that we obey God when we willfully disobey governing authorities. They have been set up, established by God. And if we acknowledge God's authority, how can we not acknowledge the agents of God who rules over us for our own good? Now, I'm sure you guys will be thinking, that's true, but what about when governments go bad? The good governments are easy to get along with. You know, they give you good freedom, they give you good laws to obey, so it's easy. But what about when governments like the Nazis, the Khmer Rouge, tyrants like Colonel Gaddafi? How are we to live under such regimes, under such tyranny? When governments go bad, how are we to submit? Now, first thing we must say about today's passage is that it does not comment on governments that are inherently evil. Paul assumes that governments work for the good of the people. That is why he uses the language of right and wrong to encourage us to do good. It's overall, the picture of authorities in Romans chapter 13 is one of a good government, isn't it? It's a government that is doing good to bring order and justice in society. Paul probably is not talking about obeying evil laws that break God's law. So Romans chapter 13, we should not think of it as saying we should obey every kind of law or every kind of governments. I think there is a distinction that he is talking about submitting to agents of God. But when authorities rebel against God, how are we to live in relation to them? It's very hard, isn't it? On the one hand, we should submit, but when they say, go and kill or be killed, what are we to do? So let's have a look at three incidents in the Bible to maybe help us look at this idea, help shed some light into this matter. The first case involves the Hebrew midwives in the times of Moses. Okay? I think Nick was actually alluding to the time of Pharaoh and how were the Israelites supposed to submit to the evil rule of Pharaoh. And this is a special case, a specific case of that. In Exodus chapter 1, just before Moses was born, Pharaoh declares an edict to say, anointing all the Hebrew sons, of all the Hebrew males, and the midwives are supposed to dash them or kill them before they, as soon as they're born. But this is how the Hebrew midwives actually responded to that decree. In Exodus chapter 1, verse 15 to 17, the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, whose names were Shipra and Puah, "When you help the Hebrew women in childbirth and observe them on the delivery stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it is a girl, let her live." The midwives, however, feared God and did not do what the king of Egypt had told them to do. They let the boys live. See that? The midwives willfully disobeyed God. Disobeyed Pharaoh. Sorry. When they disobeyed Pharaoh, are they disobeying God? You know, Romans chapter 13 says, all authority, all governing authorities are agents of God. You have to obey them. Otherwise, you're rebelling against God. But what did the midwives do? They disobeyed Pharaoh. And Pharaoh was a governing authority. Did they disobey God? If they did, why did God say this in the next verses? In Exodus chapter 1, verse 20 to 21. So God was kind to the midwives, and the people increased and became even more numerous. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families of their own. Disobeying evil decrees is not going against God, is it? According to that. Disobeying evil governments is not going against God's authority. It's actually a way to actually honor God, to fear God more. The second case is taken from Daniel chapter 3. The Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar had decreed that everyone in the kingdom, in the empire, must bow down and worship an image of gold that he had set up for himself. Everyone had to bow down, otherwise they would be killed. Yet the three friends of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, refused to worship other idols. So King Nebuchadnezzar was furious and demanded why they did not worship as he had decreed. And this is what how they replied in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16 and 18. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to the king, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to save us from it, and he will rescue us from your hand, O king. But even if he does not, we want you to know, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold you have set up." The king is a governing authority, isn't he? Yet these three friends of Daniel willfully disobeyed him. Shouldn't they be punished? Shouldn't they perish in the fire? Yet what did God do? He sent an angel and protected them in the flames. And so by doing that, what did the king say in the end? In the end, the king had nothing but to say, "Praise be to the God of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, who has sent his angel and rescued his servants. They trusted in him and defied the king's commands and were willing to give up their lives rather than serve or worship any god except their own God." They were actually commended for their faith. They were actually commended for their disobedience. Imagine that. And the final case we can look at is when Peter and the other apostles stood in front of the Sanhedrin and the council was saying, "Stop preaching in the name of Jesus." And this is Peter's reply in Acts chapter 5, verse 29. "We must obey God rather than men." Rather than stopping to preach, Peter took the opportunity to actually preach the gospel to these people, to preach Jesus to the people that were telling him to stop. And for their trouble, the council had them flogged and released. But what did the apostles do? They kept on praising God and preaching the gospel. And what did God do in the end? Added thousands of numbers to the group of believers. God actually blessed the ministry of apostles, even though they disobeyed the governing authorities. God is the ultimate authority, and we have to serve Him above all other authorities. Because He is the supreme authority, yes, we should submit to other the governing authorities, but when they clash against God, we must be ready to disobey. even when willful disobedience may cost us a lot, we have to choose God's way, just like the Hebrew midwives, Daniel's friends, and the Apostle Peter. We are to obey God rather than men. And this is not going against what Paul is saying in Romans chapter 13. For we are to submit to rulers who are agents of God. But when they commit sin, and when they do evil deeds, can we say they are agents of God when they're doing such bad things? And if they are not agents of God, do we need to obey them? Now, examples of evil governments and whether we should obey them or not is pretty much black and white, isn't it? Thinking of the Nazis, the Khmer Rouge, it's pretty straightforward to think, we should not obey what they say, because what they're doing is evil. But what do we do when governments are generally good, but sometimes do things that hinder the gospel? Take our Australian governments, for instance. We must all agree, living in Australia is a blessing, isn't it? That the government that we have is generally good. We may consider them incompetent at times, but but in general, the society we live in is orderly, there is justice, and we can expect justice to happen when things go wrong. Right? This government, this society that we live in, is good. We're not oppressed. Our needs are met. There is hardly anyone who starves to death on the street. And compared to other nations, we have a great medical facility, don't we? We may wait a bit, but in the end, we actually get the medical attention that we need to get. That's right. But like all other Western governments, God and His Word are slowly being marginalized, isn't it? The Western governments, especially Australian government as well, are starting to push the Word of God and the authority of God to the side and saying it's irrelevant. Australian government is good, but when they do that, when they hinder the gospel in that way, how are we to live in relation to them? Think about laws such as the abortion laws, capital punishments, marriage equality issues, or laws that restrict the proclamation of the gospel in the public square. More and more, the Christian message is being diluted by calls of equality and tolerance. How are we to relate to a government that is increasingly, and maybe subtly, persecuting the church? The great thing about living in a democratic country is that we can voice our opinions. We can actually rise up and say, this is wrong, and it is still legal. It's a part of the democratic process to actually say, you are doing something wrong. I want my rights. It's okay for us to rise up and say to the government, that's not what we believe in. Give us our freedom. Okay? And it's a good thing about living in a democratic society. When governments attack the biblical foundation and restrict our ability to obey God fully, we can voice our opposition and don't expect to be persecuted or punished for it, because it's not illegal. But the principle of Romans chapter 13 still stands, doesn't it? The government, Australian government, is still good. It is still doing good things. It is still keeping order. It is still making sure there is justice in society. Even though there are some certain parts of it that may be hindering the gospel, in general, it is a good agent of God, isn't it? It is an agent of God that is doing good things for us. It is promoting order and justice. Which means just because we don't agree with some of the laws that it passes, like the abortion law, or some other law that does not make it, or some other laws, it does not make it okay for us to reject all of the authority of the government. Just because there is one or two laws that we cannot agree with biblically and on conscience, it does not mean that we should stop paying taxes. It does not mean that we should stop obeying speed rules. We must still pay our taxes, and we must still submit to the rules and regulations that govern our society. And we must submit not grudgingly, as if we have no choice, but willingly, as Paul states in verses 6 to 7, this is why you pay taxes, for the for the authorities are God's servants who give their full time to governing. Give everyone what you owe him. If you owe taxes, pay taxes. If revenue, then revenue. If respect, then respect. If honor, then honor. If we accept that God has established our government, then we should respect and honor them as servants of God. The rules and regulations they have set out, we should be willingly submitting ourselves to. You should not be a grudgingly think and say, I'll just do it for this time only. It's something that we should be actually obeying and living under. And by doing these things, by submitting ourselves to governing authorities, we are showing our love for God is public. When we obey the authority that God has established and said, this is my agent, and when we obey them, that's our expression of our love for God, isn't it? We love God who has established his agents to rule over us. And when we obey God. And by this we show that God is sovereign over all authority. God is the sovereign ruler of all creation. He made the world, and he established rulers over the world to govern and bring order and justice. That is why it is right for us to submit ourselves to the authority of the governments or any other authorities. For as agents of God, they are doing God's will in giving order and justice to our society. But when governments go bad and rebel against God's will, we must also be prepared to step in and say, you are doing something wrong. We must be prepared and be courageous to say, I won't do what you are doing against God. And when we dissent, and when we rebel against such governments, we must also be prepared to pay the consequence. We must be courageous to be able to pay the consequence of that rebellion. Trying to avoid the punishment may not be the right thing. In those kind of cases, it may not be the right thing to try to avoid punishment, although it's possible. But we have to weigh up whether obey disobedience without consequence is the right thing. Disobedience will ultimately require consequence. And as Christians who still see that authority may be something that God has set up, we also may have to think about whether paying with our lives, paying with our freedom, paying with our property for disobedience is something we are willing to pay. Thankfully for us, it's not a choice that we need to make in Australia, is it? It's not something that we need to worry about too much. But more and more Christians in the world are being persecuted for their faith. More and more people are being persecuted for disobeying the evil regimes in the world. So what must we do? We must continue to pray for them. Pray for that they will be upheld by God. Pray for relief to come quickly from God. But as for us, we should be thankful that we have a right and just government that rules over us. And we must show that we truly love God by obeying the authorities that he has established. For in paying taxes, keeping to the speed limit, obeying the laws of this government in every aspect of our lives, by these things we show that God is sovereign and that we love God. So let's encourage each other to obey and be submissive. But most importantly, we must submit to the authority of God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much for the governing authorities that you have established to rule over us. Thank you for the Australian government that works to bring goodness and justice in society. Thank you so much that we can have such a good, great government that rules over us and that gives us good freedom and enables us to live righteous lives. Lord, we pray that this will continue to happen, and that we will continue to be able to live in submission to you and to be able to promote your gospel. So Lord, help us as we think about these things, and also those people also our brothers and sisters who are being persecuted. Lord, we pray that in this world you will stamp your authority in all governments and that all of them will ultimately submit to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Right. I think today we have time for some questions. So I'm open to any questions that you might have.